You know, it's okay to be tired on Sunday. Today, I'm going to speak a little bit about that subject, and it's okay that we're tired. The song that we just played was "Come Unto Me, I Will Give You Rest." We're going to talk about that verse today. We're going to look at that passage in your Bible today. You see, here's the problem that we run into in America. Americans have forgotten how to rest. We just don't get it. We don't understand. We take a day off, or we take a vacation, but we take our work with us. Have you ever known people that do that? They go on vacation, but then they take it as a working vacation. I mean, it's just a working vacation. That's not a vacation, folks. That's just not it. Or we take a day off, but we don't get too far from that cell phone. You know, that there's a phobia. It's called nomophobia. It means you're afraid of not having your phone handy. And this morning I got to church and I didn't have my phone. And I'm going to think, they could be calling me with the sweepstakes winner, you know. I mean, somebody needs me. I'm important. I mean, and then I thought, ain't that important. Thank you. I'll just let Joy bring it. Or if she doesn't, that'll be fine too. You get to the point where you're so caught up in yourself and you're so caught up in your business. The idea of working longer and trying to get ahead of somebody else in the world is just not of God. I'll just tell you, sometimes we think so much about our own energies that we're the only way that we're ever going to succeed. If it's not for us doing everything that we can, we will never succeed. We don't even put God in the equation, and that is just not right. Learning to rest is crucial for your success. Just as athletes have days off between their games, we should have days of time when we are resting and getting ready for the next week. You see, God rested on the seventh day, but not because he was tired. God doesn't get tired, just in case you didn't know. He set a precedence for us to abide by, and he was setting an example. It is possible to live happy and be successful and still rest regularly. You know, Chick-fil-A takes Sundays off. I know those fries are starting to make your mouth water right now, aren't they? I mean, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about that chicken. And yet they make, on average, their stores do 4 times the business in 6 days that a Kentucky Fried Chicken does in 7. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's important. 4 times as much money. They make about $4 million per store per year profit, whereas Kentucky Fried Chicken makes about $3 million, and they're open 7 days a week. Hobby Lobby started taking off on Sundays years ago, and yet they are still one of the most successful companies in the world. You know, the owner of Hobby Lobby has twice the money that the President of the United States does, and he gives 50% of it away to churches. Isn't that amazing? God can make you successful in 6, and you don't have to worry about working 7 days a week. Why? Because they're operating under the principle that God set up and he established from the beginning. Too many people have bought into the lie that they have to follow the rules set by the world's economy to be successful. But God has a better plan, and he established it from the beginning. Jesus said, go and preach, but he also said, come and rest. So it's a balancing thing, isn't it? He was vigilant about getting rest and making sure that even his disciples got rest. One day he was holding a meeting, a group of meetings, and people were coming, people were getting healed, people were listening, people were learning, people were getting baptized. It was, by all standards, a great revival that was taking place. It could have gone on indefinitely. He could have added days and weeks, but right in the middle of the success, all of a sudden Jesus tells his disciples, I need you to come away by yourself and let's go and get some rest. It wasn't just Jesus that needed some rest. It was the disciples. He knew that it was part of the plan that they get rest. Some people say, well, I'll rest after I'm dead. That sounds noble and ignorant all at the same time. I'm sorry. Years ago, my brother-in-law, my sister's first husband, passed away at the age of 39. And when they found out what had caused it, they said really what had happened is his body had gotten kind of worn down and he just didn't allow himself to rest and get well before he kept pushing himself and pushing himself. And he was so committed to that job and he had this great work ethic and that was noble and that was a good thing, but he just pushed it too far. He just wouldn't take time off. He called my sister a few days before he went to the hospital, and he was just laying down on the floor in his office, but he was at work. I mean, think about it. You're at work. You're not any good to anybody, but you're there. I used to brag on myself for never missing a day of work because of illness. And I didn't. I went years and years without ever missing a day of work. Now, I infected all of the people I worked with over the years. I just took sickness right on in there. You know, I mean, that's just how it was. I'm here. Speaking of dying, did you know that the guy who invented Visine drops recently died? They had the funeral right across the street at the funeral home. They said there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Come on. That's all you're going to get to me from me today right there. So Jesus had a lot of teaching on this subject. Let's look at it. Here's the verse that we're going to look at. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28, 29, and 30. Here it is. This is what we're going to talk about. We almost got Matthew 11, 28, and 30 on that screen, didn't we? All right, so here we go. Then Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Now, I'm going to break this verse, these three verses, down to you. We're going to do it very expository. That means we're just going to go verse by verse, and we're going to talk about it. And then at the end of it, I'm going to give you four practical ways to keep a life of rest in your future. And it's going to be a very easy morning for you to understand. First off, Jesus said it. The verse begins by, "Jesus said." Notice it wasn't from Steve, it wasn't from your doctor, it wasn't from your mother, it wasn't from your wife, your best friends, it wasn't from the television. Jesus said it. How many of you understand that when Jesus says it, you can count on it? People will tell you all kinds of things. People will come up with their ideas. But when Jesus said it, you can bank on it. It's important. It's important enough to know. It's important enough to believe. And it's certainly important enough to appreciate that this coming from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He doesn't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. Jesus said it. Then he said what? He said, "Come." Now, you see, that word is an action word. Come. You don't just you sit and wait for it. You got to come. You need to do something. There's a process involved. And we're going to talk about the process at the end of the service. It takes action on our part. Then he said, "Come to me." You see, we come to Jesus, not the first thing that looks good. Not just the first thing. Sometimes people come up with some bogus ideas. They come up with all kinds of ideas on how they're going to get more than 24 hours a day out of the day. But we've all got the same. Nobody's got more than 24 hours a day. I don't care who you are. You got the same amount. But have you ever noticed how some people accomplish so much in 24 and others can't accomplish much at all in 24? God has a way of making it work out. When God's on your side, he will steer you in the right direction and he will give you wisdom and you will accomplish more in less time. I'm convinced of it. I've seen it in my own life. And then he goes on to say, "Come unto me, all of you." All of you. He didn't leave anybody out. The invitation is open for all of us. All of us who are weary and carry heavy burdens. You see, everybody needs help. Everybody needs help at some time. There's no limit on the size of the burden, he said. He didn't say, "Oh, those of you who have this kind of burden, those of you who have this kind of struggle." He put us all in the same boat. And he said, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary." And then he says, "I will give you rest." I'm thankful for that. That's present tense. He didn't say, "If you come unto me and you act like a good boy and a good girl, somewhere down the road, I will give you some rest." He didn't say that. He said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." It's not something that's going to happen in the by and by. It's not something when you die, you finally get some rest. By the way, I'm calling this sermon "Rest for the Weary." Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, there's no rest for the weary"? Well, there is. And this is what this is. Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." God has rest ready for us right now. We just need to come and get it. Part of the secret is to begin to get our priorities in order. Our priorities need to get in order. Then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. Now, you remember what a yoke was? It was that big thing that fit around the necks of two oxen, and they would plow the fields together. It was a big wooden thing. It was shaped, and it had a shackle that went around the neck, and they would work together. Usually, you had an older oxen and a younger oxen. That older oxen was the one that was kind of leading the charge, and the other one was just kind of there pulling and just being some brute force, but the smart one was on the right, and the dumb one, I guess, was on the left. And they were kind of pulling them together. Jesus says, come on, take my yoke upon you, dummy, and I'll pull you right along to where you're going. He didn't really say it like that, but you know what I'm saying. He says, come on, take and work with me. For our yokes are those, everybody's got yokes. Everybody has something that we're bound to. Everybody has something. Sometimes it's our job. Sometimes it's those expectations that we put on ourselves. Have you ever seen expectations that other people put on you, but then you put expectations on yourself? And if you're not careful, those expectations can come out of kilter. And God, the very thing that you think God wants you to do is not the thing that God wants you to do. It's the thing that you want to do. Lord, if I just, and we pray about it, and we even ask God to help us sometimes about some of the things, but they're not our, they weren't God's idea. They were our ideas, and we put those on us. Or sometimes we think that our money and our well-being comes from the job that we hate. If you hate it that much, it probably didn't come from God. I've said it before. If you go to a job that you hate every day of your life for 40 years, that's not something that God blessed you with. That's a yoke around your neck, and maybe God has something better for you. And maybe it's time for you to start looking for what that better is. I don't say, just go out and quit tomorrow and go, well, Pastor Steve said quit my job, and so I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to sit here and rest a while, and God's going to show up. And then I'm going to come to the church and ask for some money when he didn't show up on time. But that's not how that works. Jesus says, come and join me in the work, and I'll help you. Then he says, let me teach you. Oh, now this is good. You won't find a better teacher or better friend than Jesus. You won't find a better teacher than Jesus. We should all be lifetime students of the Word of God. We should all, every year, we should be able to look back and see something that we've learned from Him. You even learn how to fight the devil by seeing how Jesus fought the devil. You know, when Jesus first went, right before He started out in the ministry, He went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and He fasted. Remember that? And Satan came to Him and tempted Him. And every time Satan quoted something to him, Jesus quoted the Word of God back to Satan. And it says after a few times, Satan finally left him for a season. He ran off. And it says angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now, I like that. I don't know exactly what they did. I don't know if they brought him some angel food. I don't know what they did. They just brought something. They ministered to him. But I can see the conversation going something like this. Jesus saying, did you see what I just did there? And they said, yeah, Lord, you kind of whooped him. He ran off. And Jesus said, yeah, I whooped him. But I didn't whoop him as God, because you angels know me as God. I whooped him as a man, because I'm a man and I quoted the Word of God, and that got me to where I am. And you see, Jesus never defeated the devil in the power of his divinity. He defeated the devil in the Word of God, that he has given you the same power to defeat the enemy. It's what the Lord will do in your life when you study the Word of God and you learn the Word of God and you let him be your teacher. Then when the Word of God needs to come up in you, it'll be there ready to come up, and you'll say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord wants you to know today. This is what the Lord is saying to you, and this is what the Word of God has to say. And you speak to the problem. You speak to the enemy, and you let him know this is what the Word of God has to say. So let him teach you. And then he goes on to say, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You see, Jesus isn't going to tie you down. He's not going to strap on that yoke, and he's going to make you do something. Forced service is never God's service. That's something Satan does. And you know what it's called? Addiction. When it's forced upon you and you're trapped, that's addiction. God doesn't addict you. Satan does. There are a lot of people who want to do right, but the yoke that Satan has put on them is so powerful they can't free themselves from it. Then he goes on to say, you will find rest for your soul. See, you won't find rest looking at Jesus from afar. You only find rest when you get up close and personal. When you get to know him personally, that's when you really find rest, because it's the relationship that's going to bring you rest. That's when Jesus speaks to you. I'm grateful that Scripture tells us that he orders our steps. That means he helps us with where we should go. But there's something else that that means. That means he tells us how fast we are to go. Because you see, your pace will determine your peace. Some of us think, well, Lord, we just got to get it all done. We got to do it right now. There's so much we got to do. And well, Lord, you know, there was like the lady who came into church one day, and she tells the pastor, she said, "Pastor, I was in here on Tuesday and you weren't here. And where were you?" And the pastor said, I was taking my day off. And she said, "Well, Satan never takes a day off." And he said, "And I guess if I didn't, I'd be just like him." Every one of us need time of refreshing. We need time in our life when we take rest, when we step back and we allow God to rest and give us rest for our soul. You see, burnout occurs when we simply burn the candle at both ends until there's nothing left. But when you get rest, it's though your candle is constantly being refilled. And you just burn bright for the world to see. We're the light of the world. We get to go out and do what God's called us to do. And then we take some rest. And then when we come back the next day, we're refreshed and our mind and our emotions are all refreshed. We shine that much brighter. Then he goes on to say, "For my yoke is easy." Back to that yoke again. Now, what does that mean, "my yoke is easy"? Well, in the days in this which this was written, they would custom make the yoke to fit on the oxen, because every oxen was shaped just a little bit different. They had a little more in this part, and they had a little bit this, and they would go in, they would kind of measure it, and they'd make sure that that oxen had a yoke around his neck that was so custom made that it was comfortable, and that oxen could work longer, and it would not rub a blister on the back of that oxen. Have you ever had a new pair of shoes that you just had to have, women? And you talk about it and you put them on and you come walking into church and I got the thing going on here, you know, and you say, "Aren't they beautiful?" And you go home and your feet are just so worn out because they just didn't fit right. I've seen a lot of people come to church and they got the heel out the back of them because they didn't work right, you know, and they're like, "That's not the way that's supposed to look. Matter of fact, you need some footwork in there." That's a little bit about how this yoke thing works. They would be very careful how they shape the oxen's yoke to go on it. And Jesus knows you so well that when he says, "My yoke is easy," that means that he's got a custom fit yoke just for you. He knows where your strength is. He knows where your pain is. He knows what's comfortable for you. He knows how to get the most out of you for his kingdom. He knows how you'll be the most successful. He knows how you will find joy in doing what he's called you to do and just living your life. And you will actually enjoy doing. Once you get on board and you take his yoke upon you, you'll find that it is the right thing. And it won't be a drudgery. It'll be fun. It'll be a good day. It'll be a good week. It'll be a good year. It'll be a good life. Because God will have directed you. He will order your steps. He will keep you the right pace. He will give you a custom-made yoke, and he'll be right there beside you going, "We can do this. Oh, you're doing good." He'll be encouraging into your ear. You know, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us, and he speaks to us, and I believe he's kind of like a coach in the corner of a boxing match going, "That's good. That's good. Look over there. Punch right now. His head is down. Come on, come up with it." You know, he's doing all that stuff. He's guiding you. He's protecting you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. His yoke is easy. The problem of yokes is sometimes we put on the yoke of legalism. Have you ever known that? When I grew up in that era, and some of you did, where legalism was a part of church. So it was. We didn't focus on what God said about what to do. We focused on what God said about what not to do. And if you're not careful, you can bring that into every area of your life, and you can become so legalistic. And it's all about the rules, and it's all about not doing this and not doing that, that yoke gets up on you, and it's not an easy yoke. You're just so beat down and so burdened, and you walk around with your head down, and people say, and then when you finally get the courage to speak to somebody and say, "Jesus loves you." And they say, "If Jesus loves me, why do you look like that?" It's okay for you to be happy in this life. Why would anybody want what you have unless it's helping you live your life better? And then he goes on to say, the burden I give you is light. A happy ox is one who is doing a job but isn't worn out to the point of utter exhaustion every day. You might be worn out. I mean, we worked yesterday. We moved furniture. We moved refrigerators. I had one refrigerator to go into one room, and I had to take the door off of the house. I had to take the door off of the room. I had to take the doors off the refrigerator, and then we finally got it in there. It didn't look good, and we got it in there, but it's in there. I don't know if the ice maker will ever be the same, but it's in there. And we were, and the paint job's going to need a little touch up, but other than that, we good. The weight of the burden on its back, you see, determines the energy that it takes to move it. Jesus said, the energy that I'm going to give you, my burden is light. So that's that whole verse. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I learned that as a small boy, probably from singing that little song over those years. Now, how do you apply that? How do you take that verse and make it applicable to you today? I have an acronym for you, R-E-S-T. Are you ready? Here we go. Rest. The first letter, R, stands for maintaining your routine. Maintaining your routine. Luke 4:16, Jesus, it says, and he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Jesus had a routine. Jesus did certain things every week. Jesus knew the value of routine. Do you know the value of routine? Do you have a routine every day? What time do you get up? What time do you go to bed? What time do you do this? What time do you do that? We all have a routine. When I was younger, I had a routine. It meant stay up until I passed out and stay in bed until they forced you out. And if you had to go to class, there would always be another class tomorrow. I mean, that was the routine. There was no routine. It was just whatever worked, whatever felt right. But somewhere along the way, maturity kicks in, and your routine should too. There's a value in your routine. Jesus, God has a routine. What about you? And is it sustainable? Do you do this once a year at the beginning of the year? Do you come up with a game plan for the new year? And you come up with some lofty ideas. I mean, we write some stuff down and we come up with some of the most incredible plans to what we're going to do for the new year. And they're no more sustainable than you jumping off of the roof of your house and bouncing like a big round ball. You're just going to go splat. But most of us think we think we can accomplish so much, and we think if we write it down, that's all we got to do. I'll write it down, and then I'll just force myself to do it by sheer willpower. Not going to happen. Successful people have a morning routine. Work routines are important. Family routines are important. Meal routines are important. They say that somebody came up years ago and they said, this is how you lose weight. You eat like a king for breakfast. You eat like a prince for lunch. And then you eat like a pauper for dinner. And supposedly that routine will get you to where you need to be weight-wise. Unfortunately, around 10 o'clock at night, you hear that little voice in your head that says, long live the king. True? Am I speaking the truth? Yes, I heard. I see that head. Thank you very much. Sleep routines are important. How many of you go to bed at the right time and get up at the right time? God loves to speak to people in the morning. Now, he can speak to you anytime during the day. But why do we give God some of us just think that, oh, I'm just not a morning person. You could be if you would go to bed before the chickens get up. Anyway. Number two, the E, manage your emotions. This is huge. Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 41 and 42, Jesus was over at Lazarus' house. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. You remember the story. Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word he had to say. She was enamored with who he was. Martha, as in Stuart, was in the kitchen. Martha Stewart was in there just doing everything that she could to get it ready, and she was taking pride on her ability to provide a meal, and she took pride on her ability to entertain, and obviously she was taking pride in her own abilities other than learning from the feet of Jesus. And she came in and she said, "Jesus, make her help me." And Jesus says this to her, "Martha, Martha." And I think he had to say her name twice because she wasn't listening the first time. "Martha, but Jesus, Martha." "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha was just such an emotional wreck because things didn't go her way. Nothing will steal your rest like just letting your emotions run off. "Oh, something didn't happen the way I expected it to." Well, I'm sorry, but unrealized expectations are part of life. Deal with it. And if you deal with it by just getting upset every time something doesn't go your way, you're going to constantly live in turmoil because we live in Texas and they're constantly working on the roads. Is this true? This is true. Joe can tell you, he's one of those guys working on the roads. Every time there's a problem, they call Joe. And I've yet to see Joe, but I understand Joe's out there working on the road. So maybe that's because he only works during the storms. That's it. We're grateful for it. So this is the problem. You go through life. You get so complicated. You get so upset over little things. Have you known anybody that just anything sets them off? Why? Because they haven't allowed themselves to rest properly. When you're completely rested, you can get in traffic jam and it didn't go according to plan, but you have given yourself enough margin to get where you're going. You need to give yourself that margin, and it'll help you with your emotions. Some of you need to get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. Hello. that's an issue right there. Come on, hello. And I started meddling now. I'm sure that's it. Also have to look at everything in perspective. When I was a little boy and something would happen, my dad would say something like, "Well, in 100 years from now, it won't matter." Well, it was true. In 100 years from now, it wouldn't matter. Or as he would say, in 100 years from now, it will make a bit of difference. And it's true. But we need to put things in perspective. Put everything in light of eternity. Is what's happening right now, is it going to be that important in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, or in eternity's sake? So Joy and I are building this house. We're in it the other night. We're looking around. We're trying to figure out stuff. We've got some issues with the builder. We're just struggling, and it's been a long going process, and we were kind of beat down. And Joy's cousin passed away, who's the same age as Joy, this past week, had a fairly quick form of cancer in her body and died, and they had the funeral up in Montana. So they streamed the service. And so while we were in the house, Joy had the service going on. And as we were watching that, I was thinking about all the things with the house, and I'm just frustrated. And suddenly I'm watching this, and everything came into focus. Everything came into perspective. This is just a house. This is just brick and mortar and wood. This is just stuff. What's really important are people. What's really important are the people that God has put into your life, that God has put into my life. The very important parts of our lives are always those things that God has blessed us with, not just the stuff that we have. When you start moving your stuff, you realize how little you need your stuff. There's so much of my stuff that's getting ready to go to Goodwill. They're going to have a bargain sale later this month, I'm sure. Because it's just stuff. Put it out there in light of eternity. Is it valuable to where you are going to spend eternity, or is it just something that you had to have? You had to have this. And is this going to affect your relationship with God, or are you just simply putting another yoke around your neck? Ouch. Didn't mean to say that. Must have been for myself. All right. The third letter is S. Remember the Sabbath. You see, Jesus remembered the Sabbath. It was his custom. He went to church every Sabbath. You're here today. I'm preaching to the choir. Thank you for being here on the Sabbath. It's important. Why is it important to come to church? You're not just checking off a list. You're not just doing something that you have to do. It's just not part of your routine. It's not just part of something that is expected of you. It's not even just because you wanted to get a little emotional touch. It's because God said, if you will come and worship me on the Sabbath and spend time and get a restful day, your life will be better. Hebrews 4 and 10 says, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world. As I said, God didn't rest after he created the world because he was tired. He was setting the precedence. He was setting the model for us. God programmed you and I to need a break both physically and mentally. It's like a reset button, and every 7 days you need to push it. It's true. You need a personal day off, I believe. You need a Sabbath day. That's a Sunday. And you need a yearly vacation. Oh, I can't take a vacation. Well, some you can if you schedule it. Now, if you're like me, getting out of town sometimes, it feels like it's not worth the time to get out of town because it takes so much in getting ready to get out. Oh, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do the other thing. And it just takes so many times. But once you get out, now, years ago, Joy and I were in the middle of a remodel on a house, the last home that we lived in. We had been in it 10 years, and it was time to do some remodeling. So I took out a home equity loan, and we redid the floors. I did all the painting. We did some retexturing. We put new countertops in. We took the toilets out. We did all kinds of stuff, made it look like a brand new house. We'd worked on this, and we lived in the house while doing this. If you've ever lived through a remodel, you know this is as close to hell as you can get. It's just awful. It's just awful. That was us. It was just terrible. And we were in this house, and man, we were, and before it was over with, we were like, you know, it was just kind of that. It was around this time of year, as I recall. Exactly, it was hot. It was 2011. They had all this heat wave, and we're inside working on the house, and we're doing everything. And meanwhile, my yard is just dying. So we got the house all redone, and then I had this great looking house inside and a dead yard on the outside. I remember it very well. One night, Joy and I had been just kind of fussing. She was like, and I was like, and it was just y'all thought that just happened at your house. There's devils that show up in everybody's house. And Joy finally comes in, and I'm over there with the paintbrush, and I'm snarling. She comes in, and she says, well, I'm going to bed. And I said, yep, see ya. And she said, oh, by the way, happy anniversary. I've been paying for that one for a long time. True story. August 5th. August 5th will be 35 years. That was a few years ago, and I'm just grateful for 35 years. You can get so caught up in doing stuff. You can get so caught up with your emotions. You can get so caught up not take your vacations, not take your time off, not rest when you need to. You just need to do it for yourself and for your family. And the number four thing, the T, stands for conquer your thoughts. Take thoughts captive, Scripture tells us. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you need peace today? Have you been focusing on what's important in life? Have you cast all your care on him? 1 Peter 5 and 2 says, cast all your care on him for he cares for you. We cast all of our care. You know, sometime in life, stuff just falls apart. I mean, this old church is built in 1896, and we come to this church, and every day something's old, you know, and you look and you think, they do such a good job maintaining it. Today I came in here, and I set my briefcase down, and I leaned on this right here, and suddenly this thing came off. And I'm thinking, stuff just breaks. Stuff just falls apart. I just didn't, you didn't see that coming, did you? Got a little gift for you here. Just take that back. You just never know what's going to happen in church. You never know if something's going to fall apart. Your life is like that. You never know. You're just out of control. Here, suddenly, you just woke up one morning and everything was good. You went to bed and everything was great. And then suddenly everything fell apart. And part of the problem that we run into is that we just haven't given ourselves enough margin. We haven't brought our cares to God and said, God, I need rest. And I need the kind of rest that you give, not just myself. If I do anything today, I want to encourage you first off that God will give you rest right where you are. He's got it ready for you right now. You don't have to wait. You can start today. You're in the right place. It's the Sabbath. That just means it's Sunday. He will let you have some rest. One of the most spiritual things you can do sometimes is take a nap. I heard years ago that a little lady called up Kenneth Hagin after midnight and said, Brother Hagin, the Lord told me you've got a word for me. And he said, I got a word for you. Go back to bed, woman. And that's true. That's how it is. Sometimes you just need to get the proper rest. Take care of yourself. Give yourself some margin in your areas of your life and let God deal with the issues that you can't deal with on your own. Why would we force God? Why do we force upon ourselves all the things that God wants to do for us? I'm going to invite Joy to the piano, and I'm going to just ask you today to bow your heads. I think as I was preparing this today, this week, it was as much for me as it was for you, because I know what it's like to push myself and push myself and push myself and not give God the proper time. I know what it's like not to give myself proper rest. And God wants you to know today, just like me, that He has rest that He will give you right where you are. I want you just to think about it and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What is the Holy Spirit telling you today personally? You see, the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us individually. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and He knows us so well. He knows what we're going through. He knows all the issues that you have. He will come right to where you are and He will speak to you. So He's speaking to some of you right now. I'm just going to wait for a moment and let Him just speak to you. Think about what you've heard. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Now, Father, we come to You today. First, we want to repent of the times when we have failed the commandment of to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. We've all had times, Lord, when we have failed on that commandment. We have not rested on the Sabbath. We haven't kept it holy, Lord. We have done our own thing because we thought it was the only way for us to get ahead. We've thought that if we didn't do it on that day, we didn't give ourselves some rest during the week, that somebody else would get ahead of us in this race we call life. And Lord, we just want You to know that we repent of that right now. Lord, today we want You to know that we trust You with our lives. We trust You because You have good intentions for each one of us. Lord, we trust You because You are the God who created each one of us and know how we're put together. You know even how our emotions are. You know how some of us are wired. All of us are wired, Lord. You understand us better than we understand ourselves. And Lord, we come to You today because we believe that You meant it when You said, come unto Me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we come today. Some of us are weary physically. In a day or two, we'll be okay. Some of us are weary emotionally. Lord, it might take even longer for that because we've got to readjust some things in our lives. But we ask that You, God, would help us to recover emotionally, that You would order our steps, that You would order the pace of our steps, Lord, that You would guide us and You would give us wisdom even in how we deal with all the pressures and all the stress of life. And Lord, some of us are tired spiritually. And we realize it's just simply because we have not spent time in your presence, or we haven't spent enough time in your presence. So God, today, here we are, broken, messed up, confused, tired, burdened, weary, exhausted. And we say, Jesus, we're coming to you today. We're coming to you today. And you're going to give us rest. So thank you for it, Lord. We receive that rest right now. Just say that out loud, church. I receive that rest, Lord. I receive rest, Lord. I receive rest, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are resting in you, O God. We are resting in you, O God. We rest in you, God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we invite you here, Jesus. We invite you here. We want to spend time with you. We want to get to know you. We want you to get to know us even better than we know ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Church, would you just today take this day and let God pour out some rest upon you that you are lacking? Maybe it's the emotional thing that you have been through. Maybe you've been in this emotional place for so long, you just need to release it right now to God. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Lord, I have been away from you for a long time, and I just need to come back to you today. If you're here today, you would say, Pastor Steve, would you pray with me? I've been away from God too long. I'd like to pray with you to receive a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit today. If that's you, just raise your hand and I'd like to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.